Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Cause all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good.
So good.
Of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are both light and water. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a I have lived in the goodness of God. Yes, for all my life you have been faithful. Oh, yes, you have. For all my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am made. Of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid out, I surrender now. I give you all with me, Lord. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Your goodness is running after me. If my life lay down, I surrender now. I give you everything.
Can think about is his goodness. All I want is his goodness. The reason I'm here today is because of his goodness. And if you be honest with yourself today, the reason you're here is because of his goodness. And if I must say, his goodness will run you over. Because the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. So stop and watch goodness just start overtaking you. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God, Father, saints, and faithful in Christ Jesus. We truly are happy to have each and every one of you all, because we know you could be doing other things and going other places, but you chose to stop by, and we thank God for you. We're going to ask Pastor Bell from Akron, Ohio, who should be so kind to give us a word of prayer, and we'll get into this week.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor, for that song. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Your goodness is running after me. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And then she says, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you've been so, so good. Every breath I will sing of the goodness of God. Amen, amen. What a beautiful song. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, again. The scripture I'd like to share is going to be coming from Psalms 23. Pastor quoted that last verse, but I just feel led to read the entire Psalms 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today thanking you for your goodness, thanking you for your mercy. We thanking you for all things, Father God. We thanking you for our pastor who was led to play that song today, and it touched our hearts, Father God, just the words of the song. Your goodness is running after me. It's running after all of us, Father God. We just have to stop and just thank you for all of your many blessings you have given unto us. Lord, we ask that you will be with each and every one, Father God, that is listening by internet, those who have called in, Father God, our pastor and all those who participate, Father God. We ask that you will bless them, Father God. Be with all those who've asked us to keep them lifted up in prayer, Father God. We know you are a prayer hearing and answering God. And Lord, we just pray for them, Father God, those that are sick and shut in, those that are going through, those who are bereaved, Father God. You're a way maker out of no way. Continue to bless our pastor as he teaches the word of God, being led by the Spirit of God, and making it plain that we're able to understand it, Father God. And then open up our hearts and our mind to receive the word today, Father God, so we can meditate on that word day and night. We give you thanks for all things, Father God. In Christ Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Truly appreciate that heartfelt prayer. We're still talking about Christ is so much better. And Christ is so much better than prophets. Christ is so much better than angels. Christ is so much better than Moses. Christ is so much better than Joshua. Christ is so much better than the priests. And Christ is so much better than the Old Testament. Matter of fact, better than the Melchizedek priesthood. He's superior. And he's superior to the old. That's why he brought in the new. But you won't understand this stuff until you actually dissect this if you would, for a moment. He didn't do nothing but take it apart and see what each part is talking about. So that's what we're doing. We want to show why you need to be in Christ, why that spirit needs to be in you. You see, the Jews, and we're going to get to the text in a moment, but let me talk a little bit about the book of Hebrews, okay? Because the book of Hebrews describes in detail how Jesus Christ not only fulfilled the promise and the prophecy of the Old Testament, but how Jesus is better than everything in the Jewish system throughout.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews, they accepted the Old Testament, but most of them rejected Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah. And I'm going to put a pin in there for me, because that's what I see today. People accept the church as an organization, but they reject Christ. They accept the system, but they reject Christ. Like for instance, the Bible said be in the world, but don't be of the world.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And yet they will be part of worldly churches. It never ceases to amaze me how they can build worldly churches based on worldly things. I look at singers, look at people. It's a shame how they base everything on worldly stuff. Even the church, the organized church, they don't know it's two systems. And one day the Lord's going to lead me to talk about the two. Because, see, there's two. Just like there's gods. There's two main gods. There's God Jehovah, Jireh, our provider, and then there's Satan is the god of this world. There is a righteous and an unrighteous. There's two of everything. You have to know that. You have to know that even when it came to offering, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It's throughout the Bible, brothers and sisters. It's two of everything. Sarah was the mother of the bound child, but Sarah was the mother of the free child. So it's two of everything. And one day, that won't be the message today, but one day God's going to allow me to just share all of that, just like the Old Testament, then there's the New Testament. There's two of everything. You got the organized church, but then you got the organism, which is the Spirit of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed. That's not the lesson today, but I want you to know. It's coming down to two. Christ is so much better than the Old Testament. He's so much better than the prophets and the Messiah. But if you don't know what they did, you'll be lost in just reading these scriptures. So, The writer of the book of Hebrews, to me, was I'm going to say he was a Jewish Christian, somebody that well versed in Scripture, somebody who had been on both sides, who understood that they needed to profess their faith in Christ, along with what they had experienced in Judaism and in that system, the persecution, the false teaching, and all of this played a part on this writer. But however, they may have been in danger of keeping up their Christian faith, and that some kind of way they had to return to Judaism. That's what I get when I read this book. A lot of people have moved several of authors. They said that would include Luke, maybe Barnabas, maybe Apollo, even Priscilla. There's a lot of people could have written it, and even some people say it could have been Paul. But if you're familiar with Paul's writing, Paul always some kind of way make his identity known in these books and that he written Most of them appear as he's the author, because he would say certain things like, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the, just certain things that would attest it to his character. But anyway, whoever it was somebody who knew God. It was somebody who knew Judaism. It was somebody who knew Christianity. And God used many approaches in his message. So when I read Hebrews 1:1-2, I should just read it all the way through, but I'm going to read Hebrews 1. I'll read to the third verse, and then we'll break that apart. Last week I gave y'all a lot of stuff on angels and everything, but I do need to touch a little bit on who Christ is and what he is. And as we go through these different prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, then you'll be able to appreciate. And I continue to say this. You can't appreciate a good car until you've driven a bad car. When you've driven a bad car, then you can appreciate a new car. But he says, God, who at certain times, sundry times, and in diverse manner, spake in these here's the scripture here. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, having in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he is made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Oh, come on. The word of his power. When he had by himself purged out our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Amen. And from the Message Bible, going through a long line of prophets, God has been addressing our ancestors in different ways for centuries. Recently, he spoke to us directly through his Son. By his Son, God created the world in the beginning, and it will all belong to the Son at the end. This Son perfectly mirrors God and is stamped with God's nature. He holds everything together by what he says, powerful words. After he finished the sacrifice for sins, the Son took his honored place high in the heavens right alongside God, far higher than any angel in rank and rule. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. God used many approach to send his messengers to people in the New Testament. He spoke to Isaiah in a vision in Isaiah 6. Now, these are people I'm going to name that you all are familiar with. These are events that you all may be familiar with. But when the Bible says that he had approached in many ways, he had sent these messengers, angels. The Bible says that Jacob, he spoke to people, and Jacob too, in a dream. According to 28:10-22. This is just confirming what the writer in Hebrews says. Because, see, you have to run reference. You have to go back and see what they're talking about. Also,
Amen.
He has to Abraham and Moses personally. You can read that in Genesis 18, Exodus 31 and 18. Jewish people were familiar with these stories and were not only found in their heart to believe that God was still revealing his will, but was astonished for them to so think that God would reveal himself speaking through his own son. So when you think about religious people, when you think about Jewish people and some of that, they viewpoints, it's like, well, God ain't going to come in the flesh. People, all you got to do is read the word of God, and it's going to explain to you, if you'll do it with an open mind and get rid of some of that religion and get rid of that. I mean, even when I think about Jesus, okay, I come to do the will of the Father. That tells you right there, he had not put himself above the Father, even though you might see him taking water and making wine. He didn't put himself above that. You may see him have people limbs to grow. He wouldn't put himself above the Father because he knew who he was and whose he was. He knew that. Like, it never ceases to amaze me, Christians today, they don't know who they are. They don't know they're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. They're supposed to depend on God. They don't know that God, well, I'm not worthy. Who said you are not worthy? Who told you that lie? If Christ is in you, is Christ in you doing the work? And the Bible says that God made him to be your sin. So you don't have to be sin conscious, be more righteous conscious.
All right.
Because Jesus is the fulfillment of all of what God have claimed. And it's through God's revelation. And I mean, this ain't nothing, just started through century after century. When we know him, we have all we need to be saved from our sin and have a perfect relationship with the Father. Not only is Jesus the actual representative of God, but he is God himself. So I go to prove a lot of what I have to say, because this is God the Father, the head of Christ and the Holy Spirit. According to 1 Corinthians, I'm going to ask Pastor Shea read it out of the King James, and because these are some of the scriptures we may talk about this week. In 1 Corinthians 8 and 6, can I get you to read that for me, Pastor? 1 Corinthians 8 and 6.
Yes, Pastor. 1 Corinthians 8. I'm reading from the King James. Okay, one second. My pages don't want to come loose. Yeah. 8 and 6 commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Amen.
That's 1 Corinthians, huh?
1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6. Is that what you wanted, Pastor?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6.
I'm sorry. I read verse 8. Let me read verse 6. I apologize. Verse 6 reads, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, see, Paul addressed these words to believers who weren't brothers by it, because they was really bothered by who was that and what you should eat, what you should not eat, and they had all religion. Let me say this too before I go on with this, because religion sometimes trip people up.
Come on,
and
say it.
They had problem with eating food sacrificed to an idol.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul had to explain to them, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one God. So he's trying to explain to them. Now, if you get carried away in the other area of this, you're going to think, oh, he's talking about the food. No, that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about here is being one. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about. One God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. One Father. One Holy Spirit. Also, in 1 Corinthians 11 and 3, I asked you to read that. 11 and 3. Yet there is one God, brothers and sisters, one Father, from whom all things came and from whom we live. And there is but one Lord, one Jesus, who all things came and through who we live. And what he's saying is that, brothers and sisters, once you're in Christ, you become one with the Father and one with the Holy Spirit and one with Christ. But you can't say, oh, I'm in Jesus and I'm in Christ. It doesn't work that way. You may, in your head, it should, but that's not the way it is. There's an
mm-hmm.
order here. There's an order. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, or God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's an order, but yet they all is in one. There is no difference. All is one. But over in Matthew, I said 1 Corinthians. Let me do 1 Corinthians 11 and 3.
Okay. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Amen.
See, so there is a head. So when the Bible talks about in Hebrews, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke, that was the head who created. So that's another reason that Christ is so much better, because it's God in Christ that's changing the world. Well, the Jews couldn't believe that. They couldn't believe that God would actually come here and be part and deal with man, touch man like that, take on man's responsibility. Well, that's the kind of God that you're serving. You're serving the kind of God that the only way sin would be banished from the face of the earth, God had to do it. God himself had to do it. Man, he had tried many, 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 many different ways. And that's why this is so important, to know that, yeah, he did try prophets. Yes, he did try angels. Yes, he did try Moses. People that they thought was just real awesome people, God said, I tried all of them. But now I tried my son. And everything is predicated on him passing these tests, going through it all, hanging on the cross, suffering for us. So he took care of the sin problem. Now, do they believe it? No, no, no. They don't believe Christ took care of the sin. People still sin, rather than being righteous conscious. They more sin conscious. They worry about how they can sin, how they can do this and do that. You ain't getting nothing from God. You can't suck the God in with that craziness.
Mm.
The faith that God requires is that we win souls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But see,
yes.
You can tell religious people that, because religious people is in their feelings, they in the flesh, and that's all they know. They won't die, they won't crucify it. Instead of being righteous conscience, they are sin conscience, or prophet conscience, or Old Testament stuff. But they better recognize Christ is superior. He's called the Son, and I like to express he's called the Son, the only begotten Son, because God had things that would make their way, but only begotten. Christ is the only one carry that title. Now, we're at that point where if anybody have any comments, any whatever, anything they like to share, Brother Robertson, I want to thank God for him. He went on and hung up. I get it. Some people's at work. But anybody like to have anything to say, just press 1. Any comments? But this week, just to be clear, we're talking about why Christ is so much better. And we tackled angels last week. We may touch them a little this week, but we're going to hit on to the prophets, because you're going to see all these people still want to do what the prophets say they do, and they don't want to do what Christ said they do. And I'll probably start off tomorrow by showing you that Christ is all of this stuff. Everything that the Old Testament suggested was great and good, Christ, all of that. And I'm going to show it to you in the scripture so you can be in Christ and you can let that other stuff go.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise
anybody,
God. Yes,
you have
yes, I would like to read 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. It'll probably go into 4 for the from the Message Bible. And it reads as follows. In a marriage relationship, there is authority from Christ to husband and from husband to wife. The authority of Christ is the authority of God. A man who speaks with God or about God in a way that shows a lack of respect for the authority of Christ dishonors Christ. In the same way, a wife who speaks with God in a way that shows a lack of respect for the authority of her husband dishonors her husband. Worse, she dishonors herself. An ugly sight, like a woman with her head shaved. This is basically... Praise God. Woo. This is basically the origin of these customs we have of women wearing head coverings in worship, while men take their hats off. By these symbolic acts, men and women who far too often butt heads with each other submit their head to the head God. Amen. So the first part of that, I like what it says, the authority of Christ is the authority of God. And any man who speaks with God or about God in a way that shows a lack of respect for the authority of Christ dishonors Christ.
Awesome.
Praise God. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Anyone else? And I think that's a good analogy, using a marriage as a relationship.
Yeah.
A lot of women, for that reason, right in there, a lot of marriages won't make it, because there's dishonesty, there's dishonor. A lot of times you got to honor your husband. No matter what you think or feel, you got to honor. Because we all go through some things, but you still got to reverence God. That's why the Bible says in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. You may not understand it, but go on and give him thanks. And I don't know who I'm speaking to now, but some of you may have husbands. Honor your husband. You know, you to have wine. Just learn to rejoice. That's why I said rejoice in the Lord. Always again, I say rejoice. There's no but. A lot of people want to say good things, then turn around and slap a butt on it. And what that says to me is, what that says to me is that that person just wants you to know that they know that, but they don't believe that. They know that now. They want you to know that they know that, but they don't want you to know that they don't believe that. Because they have their own version. They have their own way of thinking. I talked to a lady the other day wanting to figure out why God made man first. I mean, see, people like that, they're straight ignorant. They want to change the way God did things. Hey, what the clay got saying to the potter, why you make me like this? Why did you do this order? Why are so many women in the haven't written in the Bible like it is man? Why not give women right? Brother and sister, let me tell you what. I guess I'm just truly, truly old school. I think a woman is designed to walk beside her husband, not in front. Don't you want to hear and eat a forbidden fruit? God ain't your husband. See, you just dishonored your husband. You run ahead and you're going to eat this, and then you're going to bring it back to him. Don't dishonor him. And then the man turn around, eat it, then you just dishonored God. Can't do that. That's not in order. You may not like it. You may not appreciate it.
All right.
But a lot of women, trust me, I told several people this, you know, you got to have a, in a marriage, you got to have a head. Period. Don't be trying to argue or debate that. Now, what you have to do is pray to God for that man that he stay in line with the Father. If you want to be his helpmeet, that's what you do. Father God, I pray. But you don't challenge him if he's a man of God. You fall in line. See, I'm messing around here. I'm talking about marriage. But Christ is better than that, and it's showing an example. But thank you so much, Pastor. Anybody else have any comments or anything you want to say? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. That's so true. That's true what you said, Pastor.
And you older women need to teach these women this. I don't care if it is your daughter. I don't care if it is your sister. I don't care if it is your friend. Tell them.
That's right.
Then, and then they turn around and have babies by these men that they don't even honor. Are you ain't up there having a baby by the man. You honor the man enough to have a child with him. Honor him enough to pray for him and say, Lord, God, if you don't think he's walking with the Lord, and you be pleased to dwell there. 1 Corinthians 7 said dwell there. But in if you want to keep harmony in your marriage, let it be based on the word of God.
Amen.
Not you trying to be the head. And then you want to be mad because of your past relationship. I deal with a lot of that. A lot of people, they'll bring in, they all marriage to a new relationship. You don't do that. Can't do that.
That's right. Come on now. Say that.
You know what happens to you and Billy and you and Frank and you and Joe Willis? Don't matter. And men's the same thing. What she did to you, you don't put it into the new relationship. You don't do that.
Amen. That's
she
right.
She was the biggest in town. Trust her. Give her to go hang herself.
All right. Come on now. Why say that.
Ain't going to be working and she going to be doing this and the third. You got to do it. God will open it up. He'll reveal it.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
Sometimes it may cost you hundreds of dollars or whatever for a person to be revealed. But God will reveal him.
He will. Amen. You ain't got to go look at it.
Say true. Well, Lord, I asked you for this, and you showed me who that person was, yes, or whatever, and stay true to what God showed you. Because he'll show them to you. He'll let it be revealed. Everybody smile in your face is your friend. I'm going to say
that one more time.
Everybody smile in your face is your friend. And everybody say unto you, Lord, Lord, don't mean that they for Christ.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
They're going to say, Lord, Lord, but they don't mean to be mean nothing when it comes to God. But anyway, hey, y'all take care. We'll see y'all on tomorrow for the word.